Take your Bibles this evening. Turn with me back to the book of Ezekiel and chapter 11. Ezekiel in chapter 11. And we're going to begin dealing with verses 16 through 20 in this chapter. However, tonight we'll probably all our thoughts will be from verse 15. There's a thought we want to go back up and pick up from verse 15. But let's read verses 16 through 20, and this section, this point will be called defended and encouraged by the Lord. If you recall, last week the captives, those in exile, were railed on and they were ridiculed. They were railed on, ridiculed by those inhabitants of Jerusalem, which will be some of the thoughts that we'll continue to look at tonight. And now in verse 16, the Lord comes to Ezekiel and tells him what's going to be. Let's read verse 16. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, although I have cast them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. He's talking about the exiles, those in captivity, those that were scattered to the four winds. In verse 17, therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where ye have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof and all the abominations thereof from thence. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Now, if you were one of those that were exiled, one of those that were living in a different country, one of those that were captive, would not these words be words of encouragement to you? Those captives suffering and despised here in these verses are defended by the Lord and encouraged. They are encouraged by, shall we say, several gracious and encouraging assurances. Consider this, and this is where we go back to verse 15. They were the people of God. They were the people of God. We're going to see they were the remnant. You see, they were the people of God. Verse 15 said, Son of Man, and this section here we didn't deal too much with in verse 15. Son of Man, thy brethren, even thy brethren, the men of thy kindred, and all the house of Israel holy. Well, who is he talking about? Who is he talking about? Jeremiah had already declared that the Israelites who were in exile were better in the sight of God than those who remained in Jerusalem. We read some verses out of Jeremiah chapter 24 last week. I want to turn there and read some of those same verses again, but then read just a little bit further than what we did last week. Jeremiah chapter 24, and actually it's going to end up being the whole chapter of the 24th chapter. And think about this, and this is the likeness to what Ezekiel is experiencing in his time. This was given to Jeremiah some years before that, and given to the people. In verse 1, the Lord showed me, and behold, two baskets of figs were set before the temple of the Lord. After that, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah, with the carpenters and smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. So after that, all this transpired, after Jeconiah and Jehoiakim and all those had been carried off to Babylon, the Lord showed him two baskets of figs. One basket had very good figs, even like the figs that are first ripe, and the other basket had very naughty figs, which could not be eaten. They were so bad. Then said the Lord unto me, what seest thou, Jeremiah? And I said, figs, the good figs, very good. And notice he calls them the evil figs. Those naughty figs, those bad figs, they're evil. They're evil, very evil. That cannot be eaten. They are so evil. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like those good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for their good. If you were taken away captive, brother, would you think it was for your good? Now, you know the assurance of Romans 8:28, that if you love the Lord and you're the called of the Lord, the redeemed of the Lord, that all things work together for your good. But we would fail to see how going into captivity in a strange land would be to our good, wouldn't we? But the Lord says here it was for their good. It was for their good that they, and you're going to see as we continue reading, it was for their good that they not die not by the famine and the pestilence and the sword. They're going to remain alive. They're the remnant that are going to remain alive. Verse 6, for I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up. And I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. Now this was partially filled in the partial return from captivity under Ezra, Nehemiah, and Zerubbabel back to Jerusalem. But it has never been fulfilled in its complete, in its entirety. Which this has reference to those who went back to Jerusalem under Zerubbabel and under Ezra and under Nehemiah. But it also has reference to that which is yet today, even future. You see, and the Lord is going to bring that to pass. Now, verse 8. And as the evil figs which cannot be eaten, they are so evil, surely thus saith the Lord, so will I give Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and the princes, and the residue of Jerusalem that remain in the land, and them that dwell in the land of Egypt. And I will deliver them to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth for their hurt, to be a reproach and a proverb, a taunt and a curse in all places whither I shall drive them. And I will send the sword, the famine, and the pestilence among them till they be consumed from off the land that I gave unto them and to their fathers. You see, those that remain in the land are going to be utterly destroyed by the famine, the pestilence, and the sword. You see. Look at Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5. And verse 12. Here God speaks to Jeremiah in verse 12. They have belied the Lord and said, it is not he. Doesn't that sound like what we were studying in the first part of the chapter 11 concerning the 25 princes of the people in this 11th chapter of Ezekiel? It is not he, neither shall evil come upon us. You see, that's the very thing those 25 princes were telling the people. Hey, evil is not going to come upon us. We dwell in Jerusalem and Judah. We're the good. We're the favorite of the Lord. Neither shall we see sword nor famine. The very thing that we read in chapter 24, the Lord said he's going to send. They're going to see it. And the prophets shall become wind, and the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done unto them. Why? Why the prophets? Because they were false prophets. They weren't prophesying the word of the Lord. You see, turn with me to the 16th chapter. The 16th chapter of Jeremiah. In verse 4, they shall die of grievous deaths. They shall not be lamented, neither shall they be buried, but they shall be as dung upon the face of the earth, and they shall be consumed by the sword and by the famine, and their carcasses shall be meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beasts of the earth. Notice that. They're going to be destroyed. Nobody's going to lament them. Nobody's going to mourn them. They're not going to be buried. Their bodies are going to lay on top of the ground like dung, like animals' dung, for the fowls of the air to pick at and to eat away. Yeah. In chapter 19, one more here in Jeremiah, and there are a host more that we could have looked at. Jeremiah chapter 19. Look with me here at verse 7. And I will make void the counsel of Judah and Jerusalem in this place, and I will cause them to fall by the sword, before their enemies by the hands of them that seek their lives. Their carcasses will I give to be meat for the fowls of the heaven and for the beast of the earth. They're going to be destroyed. Doesn't sound to me like they're safe and secure, like those 25 princes were promoted in the book of Ezekiel in chapter 11, that they were safe and they were secure and they were proud in their position and their stance. And the thing is, they were saying this, and they were proud of this in Ezekiel chapter 11, and Jeremiah had prophesied this to them. Jeremiah had prophesied of this demise, of this destruction that was to come upon them. But we already seen that they believed him not. They did not believe him. Ezekiel is now told in this portion of Scripture, verse 15, that we're looking at right now. Ezekiel is now told that his brethren, his kindred, are those in captivity and scattered. They're the ones that are in captivity. They're the ones that are scattered. He was told that. They are now in Jerusalem. They are not in Jerusalem, but among the exiles. Where? By the river of Kibar, in the land of Chaldee, under the Babylonian rule and domain, kingdom. And according to Jeremiah's prophecy, we've just read portions of it, the whole 24th chapter, those who remained in Jerusalem were doomed to destruction. They were doomed to be destroyed. They were under the condemnation of God. See, that doesn't sound like the God that our world wants to preach today, does it? And when I say our world preach, I'm talking about our religious world, because they want to preach that God is a God of love. And thank God he is a God of love. But our Bible also teaches us that he's a God of wrath. And he will, well, as we're going to see, he will recompense. He will repay their evil and their wickedness. They're doomed to destruction. I want us to think for a minute about all the house of Israel, holy. Did you notice that phrase, all the house of Israel, holy? Well, he's talking about the brethren of Ezekiel. Thy brethren, he says, thy brethren, thy brethren, thy kindred. And the whole house, the house of Israel, holy. He's talking about those in captivity. But you could contrast that with the inhabitants of Jerusalem from verse 15. Let's read verse 15. Son of man, thy brethren, even thy brethren, the men of thy kindred, and all the house of Israel, holy. Are they unto whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, get you far from the Lord. Unto us is this land given in possession. You see, it contrasts the house of Israel wholly with the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Was talking about those that are remaining yet in Jerusalem, and he's talking about the brethren of Ezekiel from who once lived in Jerusalem and Judea, and the house of Israel, the whole house of Israel that is scattered abroad. You see, this is a general statement. It's a general statement as we find that there is a godly remnant. A godly remnant. That is a general statement. But we look with me at chapter 9 and in verse 4. And it talks about this remnant. Verse 4 says, "And the Lord said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abomination that be done in the midst thereof." You see, the man clothed in linen with the writer's ink cord on his side was to take that ink, that writing instrument, and he was to mark in the foreheads all that the Lord told him to mark. And all the rest, these were just a few that were marked. Were marked to be saved, were marked to be spared. They were the remnant. And all the rest were to be destroyed by the destroying angels. Who were the destroying angels? The Babylonian army coming up out of Chaldea. You see. So, they're the godly remnant. We read in Jeremiah chapter 24 that they were the good figs. They were good. They were good figs. They were chosen of the Lord. They were good figs. And he sent them into Chaldea by the river of Kibar. He sent them there. He sent them into the land that they found themselves for their good, he said. For their protection. They were marked. They were marked for safety and for security. And then you see some of the godly remnant. Well, some of the remnant, we say godly remnant, but it's a general term. Understanding that there are some that are unfaithful. All the remnant that have been spared that go into the tribulation, are they all going to be spared? Are they all godly and going to be spared and go into the millennial reign with Christ? No, not all. But there's a remnant out of there that will. Turn with me, and this really brings it home, and of course, we've got plenty of time before we get to the 14th chapter. But in chapter 14 of Ezekiel, in verses 1 through 5, here. Ezekiel 14, verses 1 through 5. "Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me." Now notice, where are they? Where's Ezekiel? Ezekiel's in Chaldea, in Babylon. He's by the river Kibar. That's his general dwelling place. You see, the elders of Israel came to him. So those Israelites, the house of Israel, holy, that's in captivity, they came. The elders came to him. "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired at all by them? Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. See, it would appear here that they necessarily didn't have their idols sitting out here where everybody could see them and they were worshiping, but they had them in their heart. They had them in their heart and they were worshiping them. You see, there's one thing that you and I need to remember, and everyone needs to remember. You might hide it from us, but you can't hide it from the Lord. You can't hide it from the Lord. The Lord knows full well. See, so we're talking in general terms, but mainly the true Israel, that's what we're talking about. The remnant. The remnant is the true. They're the good figs. They're chosen by the Lord. They're the true Israel. The true Israel was to be looked for among the captives in Babylon. They were the ones that weren't to be destroyed, except for, as we just read, those who had idols in their hearts. And so the Lord said, they're before your faces. They're your iniquity. And so in our day, and in our time, let us remember that it is not necessarily those who boast of their advantage and their extreme reverence for God. That's just what they were doing here in this 11th chapter. Wasn't that what these princes were doing? They were doing before the people and causing the people to be proud and to boast of their advantage over the exiles? You see, let us not be taken by those who boast of their advantages, of their extreme piety, their extreme reverence for God. But the ones that we ought to take note of are those that are despised. They're despised and lowly. They're the true people of God. Turn with me back to the book of 1 Samuel, and you all might, at least you all that were in Sunday school Sunday, might recognize this portion of Scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 16, in verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, that is, after the Lord rejected Eliab. Remember the eldest son of Jesse? Samuel was sent to the house of Jesse to anoint a king. And the Lord was going to show him who it was, and the Lord rejected Eliab. The Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. It's what I was telling you earlier, wasn't it? You see, might be able to hide it from one another, but we can't hide what's in our heart from the Lord. The Lord looks on it. He knows it. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs in chapter 16. Why don't you look at a few verses from the book of Proverbs. Chapter 16 and verse 9. A man's heart deviseth his way. But the Lord directeth his steps. A man's heart devises his way. Do you have a good heart? Or do you have an evil heart? Two baskets of figs. One basket of figs, they have good hearts. They're good. They're very good. Like the first ripe fruit. The other basket, they're evil. They're very evil. Very evil. So bad they can't be eaten. Chapter 22, Proverbs, in verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Not by pride. Not by a haughty spirit. But by humility. Humility and the fear of the Lord. You see, I've met folks. I've met folks that really seem to have a very, very meek and humble spirit. Very, very gentle spirited and very, very humble. But they don't fear the Lord. Well, I don't need the Lord. Ah, there's pride. There's pride. Brother, you told me about that lady in the court there. Yeah. And she doesn't want to talk to me anymore, does she? Yeah. You see? By humility and the fear of the Lord. That's where true riches and true honor are. Right there. In humility and the fear of the Lord. Does that mean you're going to have all the gold and silver in the world you want? No. that stuff passes away. Read Matthew chapter 6. That stuff passes away. Thieves break in and steal. All the true riches and honor are what's laid up for us in heaven. What's laid up for us in glory, you see. Chapter 29 and verse 23. We read this from the Proverbs. A man's pride shall bring him low. What is it keeps men from trusting the Lord? Well, I don't need the Lord. I'm good enough like I am. I just cannot believe. I had an uncle. Before he passed away, he told my mother. He said, I just can't believe what you're telling me. Mom and Dad tried to tell him one more time. One more time, give him the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I just can't believe what you're telling me. That's pride. Pride. So far as I know, he went out in eternity not knowing the Lord. And he lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torment. But honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. You see, those that are humble in spirit, fear the Lord. Oh, honor. Honor is going to uphold them. Honor in this world? No. No. You see, are you striving to please men? Or are we striving to please the Lord? I'm striving to please the Lord. I found out a long time ago, I can't please all men. In fact, if I can please some, I'm surprised. But am I pleasing to the Lord? That's the question that we need to ask ourselves. Am I pleasing to the Lord? Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Look at what the Lord says here in Isaiah chapter 57. In verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one. Now who would that be? The high and lofty one. Notice that it's in caps. The one is in capital letters. Capital O. That inhabiteth eternity. Oh, who is that? Who inhabiteth eternity? Well, the eternal one. The ever-living one. The ever-existing one. The one who has no beginning, has no end. That inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. He's of a crushed spirit and a humble spirit. Has your spirit been crushed? Have you been crushed? Oh, I remember the day of salvation. Well, my spirit was crushed. I didn't know where to turn to except cry out to God. God, be merciful to me. I'm going to die, and I'm going to go to hell. And I'm tired of my sin. Deliver me to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Notice what he did. He didn't leave us there. He won't leave us there. He's going to revive it. Oh, one day we're going to be standing in glory. We're going to be revived. We're going to be revived when we behold his face, face to face. What a day. Turn with me to the book of Matthew for one last. I got to check. Yeah, one last passage. Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the humble. That's what that means. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You see, these blesseds here, they're characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, but they're characteristics of all those who are truly born again of Him. They're characteristics of those who have been changed by His mighty working power. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. See, they mourn. They mourn over their sins. They don't see themselves as anything good and exceptional. They see themselves as sinners, saved by the wonderful, matchless grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed are the meek, the gentle in spirit, for they shall inherit the earth. You see, the Lord looks favorably upon the humble that fear Him. Well, we stop there tonight. Next week, we get into verse 16 and begin to look at that, begin to look at God's favor and God's encouragement to them and what it is that he says to them in the way of encouragement. And if you have time this week and think about it, read those verses over, 16 through 20. And think about, put yourself in their place. Would it be an encouragement to you? It would to me, I know.